Spirit just does stuff like that and moves. And so what he put in my heart, what I heard him saying, I feel for this season as we approach the end of the year, is that impossibilities must yield to the Word of God.
Amen.
Yes.
Impossibilities must yield to the Word of God. They have to. They just have to. And what Sarah was singing there and you guys were playing, I mean, everything is weaving in together this morning into this thing. And does anybody have what feels like an impossible situation like in your life? You know, probably, if you're honest. You know, you don't confess that, but let's be honest, time has a way of making things feel that way, right? Well, so the Lord reminded me of something this week, and it's like back about this half of this year, the second half of this year, and I can be kind of slow spiritually. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. In other words, God is speaking prophetically and doing things all around you, and it just doesn't quite dawn on me sometimes. And fortunately, God's faithful, and he helped me out, but here's what it is. I just want to catch you up with, I thought this was pretty cool. So remember the eclipse, the solar eclipse? Who could forget that, right? And I think that was August the 21st. So on August the 20th, I was just sitting with the Lord, and I've honestly never done this before as a pastor, but I felt, call a fast during 40 days, and it happened to be that from the solar eclipse to the Day of Atonement was exactly 40 days. So you remember that? So, okay, guys, what do you want to do? Is it a Daniel fast? Fast sweet? Yeah, whatever it is. It's just nothing heavy, but God wants to do something. And what he said is, I want to use this 40 days to realign your heart with the Father. Because this fall, I'm going to do something in the earth. And it's important that you, in order to know how to pray, you fast and pray to know how to pray into this. Wow, all right. So, you know, we just did the best we could and we're just kind of going along, right? And then, lo and behold, he says, now preach reformation. Reformation for a generation. And proclaim from the rooftop, so to speak, metaphorically, proclaim this, that I am good. That God is good. And I don't know if you remember, but Nehemiah 9, you know, they came, the priests opened the book, began to read, and they wanted to weep and mourn. And he said, no, no weeping and mourning today. It's party time. Rejoice, for you've come home. You know, all the exile had come back and all that. And I just felt, that's what I felt like this season was about, is rejoicing. And then, and so this week I was reminded, remember how Paul wrote that it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. Okay, and so a reformation, and even last week I finished that finally after 5 weeks with a few interruptions, not interruptions, but other speakers. And the last part was women arising. How many people remember that? So what dawned on me, like, duh, what's going on in our culture right now? It's almost like somebody hit somebody with a stick and it became like a moral revolution. Do you know what I'm talking about? A moral reformation. Like suddenly people who didn't seem to care about like the way that women are treated, suddenly they care. You know what I mean? I mean, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, even though I am a little bit, but it's just almost strange. Like, what is this? Like, since when did these people care about these kinds of issues? And it's God. Like, it's really good. It's really uncomfortable. You know, there's a lot of things that have been hidden in darkness for a really long time that God is bringing to light. You know? And so I just got really encouraged and excited. Now, there's good and bad. There's bad mixed in there. And, you know, I'm not saying it's all righteousness. Don't misunderstand me. But the God of righteousness is bringing healing in his wings, I believe, to our nation. And I just thought it was wild that he said women arising. Now, I was talking in a different context, but now in our culture, it's like the Father's heart is reaching out. And so I believe from that place, I'm like, okay, God, what's next? He's like, believe me that the impossible things are going to come down. The impossible. Because I know, you know, this whole issue with the harassment and the improprieties and stuff, it would just seem like impossible that anything could really be done about it. But this is the season that we're in. Isn't that interesting? Right after the 40 days, you know, the Reformation, the goodness of God. And I feel a weeping, though, of the Father's heart. Like, okay, Lord, for these men, whether they know you or they don't, irregardless, what is your heart? He said, you remember the woman caught in adultery? That's always my heart. That's always my heart. So we pray mercy on those men, Lord. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We don't point the finger of condemnation. We open the heart of love and the Father's heart of compassion. See, because that's the message, church. It's the goodness of Papa. It's the goodness of a Father. You don't even have to fear. Will there be consequences? Perhaps. Sometimes there must, even legally. But the heart of Father God always shows mercy. Because after all, is there any one of us in here that's not deserving of judgment? Right? That's 1 Corinthians 6:9. Paul lists out the whole laundry list, right? Homosexuals, adults, you know, da da da. And such were some of you. But you were justified. You were sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not who you are, it's what you were. It doesn't define you. It's not your identity. You feel that? Man, there's good and there's really goodness. There's like this rich thing. And, you know, like Evan's dreaming about outreach on the streets in Franklin Street and reaching the lost. You know, so in this orchard here, God's doing inreach and community. He's going to do outreach and evangelism and the loss and ministry to the hurting. Amen. I hope you're excited about that. I'm really blessed. Yeah, I mean, impossibilities must yield to the word of God. And I was just thinking, you know, we show this video. And the impossible story of just our family is, you know, in 2012 and 13, we were in a really low place, just really kind of beat up with some circumstances and some situations and some tragedies and all that. And just kind of in a seeking mode of like, okay, Lord, what's next? And, you know, I'd always been a teacher and part-time pastor and, you know, Bible, and all that was going away, and like, all right, you know, Lowe's Corporate's right there in Mooresville. I'll make a career change. I was totally open to anything. Anybody ever been there? Like, you know, like, whatever. I'm an open slate, Lord, whatever you want to do. And lo and behold, he confirmed it. He said, I've called you into ministry. This is the place you're supposed to be. And then he began to speak to her. I'm the one who grew up in Chapel Hill. He began to speak to her, native Mooresvillian, born and bred, Mooresville, North Carolina, home of NASCAR. You know, Dale Earnhardt. Yeah, here's to you. I mean, you know, I mean, it's. I grew up in college basketball. I still don't know anything about NASCAR. It's, you know, I lived there for 17 years. In fact, I was thinking I lived in Mooresville longer than growing up here. You know, I grew up here for 16 years, lived there for 17, and the Lord said, come back. I want to establish a home for my presence in Chapel Hill. Well, you know, when you get a word like that, there's a mixture of feelings. Like, oh, yeah, hi-pah-pah-rah. And then, you know, 40-year-old me steps back into reality like, dang, Lord, like, that's really hard, man. I don't have the energy for that. I've got a house full of kids. Do you know how much money that's going to cost? Yada, yada, yada. Anybody ever been there? I mean, let's just be realistic. It's like, could this really be God? So we're like, okay, let's just do the wise thing. Let's keep it before the Lord. Next thing you know, Judy Ball gets up. I just got back from Chapel Hill. You know, we look at each other. Nobody knows the word. Did she just say Chapel Hill? I think she just said Chapel Hill. What in the world? You know, we go to Chick-fil-A for dinner one night with the kids, and this girl that we hardly know, she's kind of an acquaintance. She's on her break. She worked there, and we go over and we're chatting with her. She goes, you know, Chapel Hill needs a really good church. What? I mean, I'm just giving you little snippets. My prophetic trail to Chapel Hill is 15 things like that. Finally, you're just like, okay. Yeah, all right, argument's over. You know, I think God wants us to go to Chapel Hill. Okay. And the interesting thing is in 2004, the Lord had spoken clearly to Byron, our pastor, that there were two cities in North Carolina that River Life was supposed to be involved in. And they were Wilmington and Chapel Hill. So that was 10 years before the Lord began to marinate this thing. Isn't that interesting? And so we needed to sell the house, step one. Step two, we needed to figure out how we're going to do this with our family financially. And so, you know, the Lord gave us a strategy for the finances, and much to my surprise, within 5 months, we were fully funded, like ready to go. That's a miracle. That's impossible. It is impossible. With man, these things are impossible. Then, okay, I need to sell the house. Well, in that time, the market wasn't hot, if you know what I mean. Like, things just weren't selling. And we had kind of a location house, meaning it's on this beautiful farm, but you got to drive 15 minutes out of town. Like, it's on a dirt road. Not everybody's going to want that. I mean, you needed to want this particular kind of location if you're going to get this. And it just wasn't selling. And our realtor was doing open houses and da-da-da. And we're just like, well, all right, faith, faith, faith. And, you know, lo and behold, a friend of my parents, is a professor at UNC. They had this house that just would fit our family. But they were going to Japan for a year to film a documentary and visit her aging father. And they were like, we need to find a family that we can rent to but not have to get on the rental market. So miracle number two happens. We find a rental house for like half the market value to get into Chapel Hill. Still need to sell the house. Well, the Lord said, on this date, you're moving. So I went to Sarah and I was like, I don't know how to tell you this, but I feel like God said, but this day, we're moving, whether the house is sold or not. Okay, this is probably, about a month before we were supposed to go. 2 weeks before that date arrived. So in other words, step out on the water in faith. 2 weeks before that day arrives, we get the house is sold. Like somebody makes the offer, we sign the contract.
While I was on the way to put it with the rental.
Oh, okay, so she was on her way to actually put it on the rental market as a backup plan. These things are impossible. The house sold. Like, we get to Chapel Hill. You know, we had been doing Sunday night meetings here for a year. We needed a place to meet. Where are we going to meet, Lord? And we walk in with Doug and Ann Murdoch. Some of you know them. They were involved with us early on. And we walk into Extraordinary Ventures over there on Elliott Road, a couple miles away. And we're like, this feels right. Like, this feels really good. But it's already rented on Sunday morning, so we took the Sunday night slot. God is faithful. God provided we could pay the rent that we needed there. Okay, step number three. I mean, just little bit by little bit, this felt so impossible. But like the old saying goes, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Maybe that's for somebody today. It might be a word from the Lord. How do you step out in a monumental vision and something that just feels so big and beyond you that you want to quit or not try? One bite at a time. And that's for me right now. I don't know who else that's for in this room. But, you know, honestly, God's put other visions that I know are God, but I kind of feel like Jonah from them right now. Where's the nearest boat out of town on this vision? I don't. Why? Because I don't. I'm not capable. I don't have it. That's a really good thing. That's a really good feeling. You know, I think it was Billy Graham that said that 90% of the things the church is doing, they could do without the Holy Spirit. That's not a commendation. That's a rebuke. In other words, if your vision is doable, it's probably not big enough. Oh man, Lord, why am I saying these things? I'm getting myself in trouble because I'm not. It's the Lord, though. We need to hear this. We need to own it. Like, yeah, I know we can't do this, Lord. And I mean, honestly, what we have here, we have not done it. Byron gave me the best advice ever. Matthew, the Lord will build the church if you'll let him. The Lord will build your business if you'll let him. The Lord will raise your kids if you'll let. I mean, it could apply to any situation in life. So much wisdom in that. I was thinking of in Mark 10, you remember when Jesus is talking to the rich man and he, you know, told him to go sell all and he couldn't because he owned a lot. And then his disciples were just kind of flabbergasted, like, dang, you know, Lord, excuse my crass interpretation of the scripture, but dang, Lord, I mean, who can be saved? You know, and they said, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, it is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Put that slide up there, Noah. For with God, I found this on Instagram. No, not Instagram. On YouVersion, you can make these little graphics. And I just thought, you know that little, the graphic that I had, Noah? Is that on there? It actually, yeah. Isn't that awesome? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And that comes from Luke 1, which is really the main text that I wanted to get into. If you want to click there or open there, Luke 1. Dad was in Luke 1, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so see, there you go. We're just going to read a different part of Luke 1. But, you know, in the scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, have you ever noticed how the leaders kept reminding the people of their history, of their past? Usually in some down moments. All right, well, remember, guys, there was Abram. And God called him out, and he had a son, Isaac. And then Isaac had a son, Jacob, the son of promise. And then Jacob had 12 boys. And those became the 12 tribes of our nation, of Israel, right? And then they go all through how the Pharaoh forgot about Joseph, but God remembered. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. God remembered his people, and when there was a famine, he had planted Joseph because what the devil meant for evil, God was going to use for good. And so he saved the whole nation when they came to Egypt. But a Pharaoh rose up who did not remember Joseph, and they were slaves for 400 doggone years. I mean, of misery. But God did not forget his people, and who did he raise up? Moses, yeah, I knew the story. Moses, the deliverer. And they stood at the edge of this huge body of water. And what did God do? For with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
I haven't even told you about the next house that the Lord gave us to buy. I mean, here in Chapel Hill. And there's about 10 other major miracles. And that's just for us alone, because that's who I know the best. You know, we could go around and you could tell your miracles. For with God, it's important biblically to remember where you've come from.
Yeah.
And to know who you are. Because it paves a way for the impossibilities to fall in the present and the future. Right? All right. Luke 1. Talk about impossibilities. A virgin's going to have a baby? That doesn't fit modern science. Doesn't fit any science. I mean, ancient or modern. There's no, you know, you guys are old enough to know how this works, right? I'm just being really, I'm just using this to loosen you up before we read to get you to kind of think about what this is, what this really was like. You know, we just read the Christmas story and like, yeah, you know, that happened. Yeah, yeah. Praise God. You know, this is scandalous, ridiculous to natural understanding. I was reading in 1 Corinthians 2 this week where Paul's talking about the natural mind versus the spiritual man. You guys remember that one? And he makes this one of my favorite quotes of his. He goes, "You guys are acting like mere humans." Like, mere humans? What are we, aliens? I mean, yes. You're acting like mere humans, mere babes. You need to move on to meat. You're still drinking milk, you know. So in this context, it's kind of useful to keep in mind that, man, this is so offensive to the natural mind. Okay, let me read it. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice.'" Everybody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
"Highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." How many know she wasn't about to feel really blessed? I mean, it seems like it, but yeah. It's embarrassing. Yeah. Like, what is the stigma that's getting ready to be attached to her? Remember the whole thing about women in this century? I mean, this is embarrassing. This is humiliating. She knows the truth between her and God, but how do you tell that story to people? Yeah. Like, how do you explain that exactly?
Right.
Sometimes you got to sing your way into the truth. This was one of those situations. This is where angelic intervention is helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, well, since an angel actually manifested and told me this, maybe it was easier for her to believe it. I don't know. I mean, there's others in the Bible who is still very difficult, even when an angel stood literally in front of them. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power." How many people like the fire of God? Like when we were singing that fire thing, man, I was about to come unglued up here on the front row. Woo! The power of God is the highest, will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. I mean, so this is impossible too, right? She's barren, she's past menopause, whatever the case is. It ain't happening physiologically. But God, but by the Holy Spirit. For with God, nothing will be impossible.
Yeah.
Don't you love Mary's heart? Don't you love her response? "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Why was Mary picked? Well, all we know is she had found favor with God. I believe you and I have the same favor. Why? Not because it's us. It's because Christ, that baby, lives in us. It wasn't Mary. It was that the Jesus in her womb is called the favored one. So therefore, she gets in on the favor. You have favor if you believe it. Because Mary had to respond, so be it unto me according to your word. And then what happened after the angel said, the highly favored one, he explained exactly how this is going to happen. The power, of course, of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and literally cause something to grow in your womb. What's impossible in modern or ancient science will be possible with God. There's something birthed in your womb right now, guys. God has planted a seed of the Spirit in your womb that is going to grow and burst forth in this season and in this generation that's going to break the yoke for a generation around us. I don't believe this is just hype. This isn't just hopeful Christianity or hopeful preaching. I believe it's consistent with the signs that we've seen in the heavens. Hello. On the earth. Hello. Even in media and Hollywood. God's righteousness is being revealed. Now it's time for the impossibilities in your life to fall like the walls of Jericho. It's time for the seas in your life like the Jordan to part. And we walk across on dry ground, not because we know that we're something, but we know that God is greater than any challenge that we can face. If you're facing an impossible health situation, healing is here today. In fact, there's one other place that I found where this phrase is used, and it was in Matthew 17, verse 19. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" I'm sure you remember that. This boy's demonized child. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move." And what? "Nothing will be impossible for you." Isn't that interesting? So the first place that phrase is mentioned by Jesus is in the context of salvation. Who can be saved? Nothing is, with men, this is impossible. You can't go through the eye of the needle or whatever the example is. But with God, all things are possible. Now, who stood up in faith when Tracy led us in that prayer? Raise your hand. Who has an impossible person, feels impossible? We've already prayed into it. Isn't that interesting? So, what's sozo? Saved, healed, and delivered, right? The next example, I'm gonna mix together the healing and deliverance. This boy, he needed to be delivered. He needed to be healed. Just like me at age 19, going into schizophrenia. They grabbed a hold of Jesus. And again, just believe. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Yeah. If you're facing what feels like a mountain of health issues, I want you to just stand up right now. Or if you want to stand in for somebody, this is going to be like audience participation day. In church, I want you to remember Ragu. Some of you aren't here. I didn't meet the man. I got an email from India about this 40-year-old man who'd come on a very short work assignment from India to Chapel Hill. And while he was here, he had a terrible stroke. And he was in the UNC hospital. And the doctor said he will never come out of his vegetative state. Period. This is impossible. There's too much brain damage, this, da, 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 you know, the whole nine yards. So something spoke, the Lord spoke. Me and Vin went over to the hospital. There's nothing special about us. It's just the heart of God led us in that direction. We walk in and Vin starts saying to this man, "You're going to rise." And I mean, literally, he's just like nothing. tubes, couldn't move, nothing, no recognition. 2 weeks later, his family shows up here at church. Pastor, you're not going to believe this. Raghu is moving his limbs, and then a short time later, he's recognizing people in the room. 2 weeks after that, I get a text. We board a flight with Raghu home to India. No, what is impossible with doctors is possible. What is impossible with doctors is possible with God. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
We're getting this. We got this text from Robin. Praise God. It's been a long battle. The Lord is sustaining her. So church, just reach out a hand to those standing around us. And let's just agree together that nothing can stand under the word of the Lord. So we just say, by his stripes, you are healed. By the stripes of Christ on Calvary, provision has been made for every healing. Lord, we just speak healing right now over every situation, over every issue right now. We say, let the kingdom of heaven come. Yeah, more, Lord. Let the kingdom of heaven come. We command every disease to fall right now. Every pain issue, we command it to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that rotator cuff that you healed last week, Lord. Do it again, God. We pray for diabetes to flee, cancer to go, arthritis, every sickness, every ailment, every ringing of the ear, we command it to stop right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're believing, like in the book of Acts, for remarkable miracles. Remarkable miracles, God. Blind eyes to be opened, deaf ears open, God. Crippled walk. Lord, remarkable miracles, Lord. Not only in this place, but out on the streets of Chapel Hill. And in the workplace, Lord. We just declare right now, by faith, we unite our faith together and we say, let the kingdom be released. Remarkable miracles be done here, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can have a seat. I'll get you back up in just 1 second. I'm almost done. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me just do this for the sake of time. There's two other things that I just besought. Okay, so there was the salvations. We pray for that one. The healings. And then I believe that there's impossible financial situations. It just feels impossible to you. You know, I know what it's like. You know, you get out the numbers and your eyes go blurry after a while. You know, it's just like this. This just does not work on paper. You know, the accountant can't figure it out. You know, I don't know if it's your retirement or your debt or whatever it is. But I will say this. I'm just going to be bold here. Tracy and Ken, the house is on the way. The house is on. You did. The Lord told me to say that publicly. You know, the house is on the way.
Amen.
God is a God who he sees the desires of our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, and we rejoice because the house for Donna and Evan and you guys, I mean, it is literally here, right? 2 weeks, right? You move in?
Friday.
Oh, Friday? This Friday? Oh, come on. Oh, wow. I lost track of time. It's sooner than we think. Lord, we rejoice with those who rejoice. We believe with those who believe.
Yes.
God, in every situation. And then also just impossible, what I got, relationship repairs. Like people who there's just relationships and it feels impossible. It feels mountain-like, you know. So if relationships or finances is anything to do with you, just stand up. You know, we want to agree with you too. You know. Yeah, sure.
Y'all need to hear this.
Okay, when my dad passed away, we had a really weird thing happen in my family. And we were all raised in church, okay, hear me. But when he passed away, we all went to Puerto Rico together just to get away from everything. And somehow in the midst of going to Puerto Rico, our family got into a major fight. And for 7 years, our siblings did not speak. Okay, everybody scattered instead of coming together, which made the grieving process even worse, to be honest. Okay, but this year, I'm in Florida in the midst of the mess with my son, but he's being healed. I got a great testimony of the healing for him. In the midst of that, my sister called and said, I'm done. I don't want to talk about anything that's happened. We're too old. We've got our grandparents. We need to be together. God reconciled in 2 seconds. That week, my brother met my other brother at a gas station. Just, you know how God is. Ran into him 7 years. And he said, all of this needs to stop. He said, we're brothers. So in 1 week, all four were reconciled.
Wow. Amen. So just raise your hand if that's you. Lord, we just pray and believe right now for these hands. Lord, do it again. We thank you that this is the year, this is the season of reconciliation. Lord, even impossible relationship issues, we say nothing's impossible for you. We pray that forgiveness would be released, that healing would be released in those relationships, and that your kingdom would just be made known, would draw near. Amen. Amen. And the financial situations, God, we thank you that our God is able. That you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord, like we do in our offering declaration, when we're down to nothing, you're up to something. So we just ask you to release finances today for all these standing. Lord, we ask you for mercy, God. Release them out of predicaments and situations that they just can't figure out, Lord. Lord, even where they're saying mercy, Lord. God, we just thank you that you are able. Not only you're able, but you're willing. And we just speak healing to their finances. And their jobs and provision. Amen. Amen. We're going to end with communion this morning. So I know it's 12:01 and don't want to keep you too late, but how many people love to partake of the body and blood of Jesus? Thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus. We pray the blood of Jesus all the time at our house. Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus over our health. We just thank you for the blood of Jesus over every issue that we've already prayed for. And we thank you, God, that you made an atoning sacrifice for us so that we get what we don't deserve. That's good news this morning, Lord. I'm really happy about that. So we bless you. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Come on up and we'll...